Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I feel to share this scripture. George shared it this morning. It comes from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says this, "Come to me," Jesus speaking. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," says the Lord. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so as Hayden continues to play, just fix your eyes towards Jesus. Run to Him. Go to Him. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can run to you, Father. God, we thank you that we can come to you with our burdens, with our disappointments, oh God, with our broken heart. We thank you, Lord God, that we can come to you, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Father, right now, I pray, will you just meet us where we're at right now, Father? We humble ourselves before you, and Lord, we just come to your throne, Father. And Lord, do only what you can do in us, oh God. So Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill this place with your glory. Fill this place with your presence. Fill this place, oh God, with your majesty, oh Lord. Fill this place with your love, oh God. Our eyes is fixed on you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you hear the cry of your people, oh God. And so, Lord, we give this day to you. We thank you for this fellowship, oh God. We dedicate this day to you. We consecrate this service to you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say, amen, amen. Come on, give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, tissue. Thanks, Gills. Hey, God is good, huh? God is good. God is good. Before we get into the word, does anybody know what day it is? Father's Day. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And so before we get into the word, I want to just honor our dad. So if you're a dad, a spiritual father or father, why don't you just stand up and why don't we just honor you? We have our usher team. We have our usher team who's got gifts for us. And so that's you today. Usher team, will you just give the gifts out? Come on, let's give them a round of applause. Let's keep it going, church. So good. Let's pass it around. And with that said, I also want to send love to those today who might have lost their father. Send love to those who may have a complicated relationship with their dad. Send love to those who's filling both roles of not just a mother, but also a father today. And those who are struggling with this day for whatever reason, we want to send love to you too. And why don't we just close our eyes once again? I'm just going to pray for us. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our Father. Psalm 68 verse 5 tells us that you are the father to the fatherless, O God. Your word tells us that you will be a father to us and that we will be your sons and daughters, O God. And so, Lord, thank you that you are a father that does not leave us nor forsake us. You are a father that loves us unconditionally, Lord God. And so, again, we just give this day to you. We thank you, Lord, for all the dads and all the fathers here. We thank you, Lord, for the work and the heart and the love and the dedication and the commitment that they bring, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray bless them today, Lord God, as they celebrate Father's Day. We give this day to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Awesome. Who's ready for the word? Awesome. I don't know actually how to go from that. It's such a beautiful moment, but I can't believe it, church. We're now in the month of September. Has the year gone quick for you or what? I don't know about you, but the year has gone quick for me. And as a Filipino, when it comes to September, that's when Christmas begins. When you hit the Burr months, September, October, November, December, that's Christmas season. So, any Filipinos here who've put up a Christmas tree? Oh, Pastor Bob, already, see? Already, I told you. We celebrate Christmas very early. But I'm so excited to share the word with you today for Father's Day. What an honor. And the word that I have for us today is a simple verse. It's a simple text, but it's a verse that changed my life forever. And my prayer is that as we unpack this one verse together, for those who have not heard it yet, my prayer, or maybe if you've heard it before, my prayer is that it'll change your life too. And the text and the scripture I'll be preaching from is from John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. It should be on the screens behind me. Turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 16. Anybody got their Bibles out? Good, so good. It's in the New Testament, just after John chapter 3, verse 15. And I'll be reading from the ESV version. It says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why don't we read that together again? Let's read it again one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Can I get an amen? Amen? And so the title I'll be preaching from, church, is called The Father's Love. The Father's Love. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. And so in order to appreciate this verse, I want to just share a bit of overview, a bit of context of this scripture. You see, this verse is a conversation that Jesus was having with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Everybody say Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a Jew. He was a ruler of Jew. He was a great member of the great Sanhedrin. He was known as a counselor. He was known as a senate. And so Nicodemus, this Pharisee Nicodemus, he was a man of authority in Jerusalem. Okay, and in chapter 3, we see Jesus and Nicodemus, they're having a little bit of chit-chat this, that. Yeah. Having a little bit of chit-chat this, that late at night. They're having a conversation regarding salvation. Jesus tells us in verse 3, unless one is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. And in verse 5, he doubles down on that and he goes on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, says Jesus, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus is hearing this and is a little bit confused because Jesus is almost talking in riddles, you can say. And Nicodemus asks the question, how can these things be? How can someone be born again? How can I be born of the Spirit? How can I receive salvation? How can I enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus in verse 14 references Numbers chapter 21 and says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son be lifted up. Here it is, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And so just as the serpent was raised up on a pole in Numbers 21, which I encourage you to read so you get the context, you understand what Jesus is referencing, that if you sinned against God, in Numbers 21, if you sinned against God, God sent out a snake to bite them and they would die. Because you sinned against God, and as a result, you would perish, you would die. But God instructed Moses to build a bronze serpent on the pole and to lift it up, that whoever looked to it would not die but live. And the same is true with Jesus. That the Son of Man be lifted up, that when you see Jesus lifted up on the cross, that when you look at the sacrifice of God, when you believe what he has done for you, when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus tells Nicodemus that the answer to salvation is through him. It's through him. And in John 3:16, he doubles down and tells us the reason why. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so today I want to unpack just a few pointers with you from this verse that is so simple and yet is so profound. And the first point I want to share is that God loves. Turn to the person next to you and say, God loves you. God loves you. God loves. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And the world that God loved is not the world that he created that we read in Genesis. A world that was pure. A world that was full of beauty. A world that was in harmony with him. A world that was in relationship with him. A world that walked with him. A world that loved with him. That's not the world that Jesus loved. No, he loved the world that was in rebellion against him. He loved the world that hated him. He loved the world that despised him. He loved the world that rejected him. A world, church, where the media would mock him. A world where the government would suppress him. A world where schools would silence him. A world where businesses would deny him. Jesus tells us in John 15 that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated him first. The world hates the Lord. But you know what? He loved it anyway. He loved the world that was full of greed. He loved the world that was full of strife, full of war, full of hatred. He loved the world that was stained by sin. But God chose to love anyway. He chose to love anyway. God chose to love a broken world full of broken people. You and I. God chose to love you and I. And this love that God gives us comes from the Greek word agapao. Everybody say agapao. And agapao is a verb to a noun, which is the word agape. And the word agape simply means unconditional love, sacrificial love, selfless love. And God loves us with this kind of love, church. A love without condition. You don't need to tick a box. You don't need to do certain types of works, certain types of tasks, certain type of religious activities or practice in order to receive this love. No, he gives it to us unconditionally. Yeah. He gives it to us unconditionally. His love for us, church, is extravagant. It's beautiful. And he loves every single one of us. He loves every single one of us. He loves us in such a way as if we're the only person in the world. That's how personal our God is. There's over a million, I don't know, can anyone tell me, a million, billion people in this world. But yet he loves us in such a way as if we're the only one. That's how personal our God is. Not only that, church, but Psalm 36 verse 5 tells us that his love is steadfast. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 tells us that his love is great. Come on, somebody. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 tells us that his love is everlasting. Psalm 103 verse 8 tells us that his love is abounding. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 tells us that his love is perfect. Psalm 13 verse 5 tells us that his love is unfailing. Psalm 103 verse 8 tells us that his love is merciful. Psalm 117 verse 2 tells us that his love is faithful. And Psalm 136 tells us that his love endures forever. His love endures forever. It's an everlasting love. All the love, whether it's steadfast, great, abounding, perfect, unfailing, merciful, all the unconditional, it goes forever. Yeah. It's everlasting. And I want to read us from Psalm 136. It says this, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Amen. For his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who understands and made the heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 23, it is he who remembered us. It is he who remembered us in our lowest state. For his steadfast love endures forever. He rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He gives food to our flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. Come on, you, my church, give God some praise in this place. Come on, give him thanks. Give him thanks, for his steadfast love endures forever. It's because of God's love, salvation is possible. It's because of God's love, salvation is possible. And I want to encourage us right now that this great love, church, is available to all. It's available to all of us. And you may be new here today, but I want to let you know right now, God loves you. God loves you. But my question that I have for us, church, is will you receive his love today? We know his love is unconditional. We know his love is extravagant. We know his love is expensive. We know his love is everlasting, but will you receive it today? Let me tell you, he loves you with an agape love. He loves you with an unconditional, selfless, sacrificial love. And because of this love, the second truth I want to share with you is that God gave. God gave. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. King James versions tell us that his only begotten son. You know, church, God's love is generous. Salvation does not begin with us, but it begins with God. It begins with his generosity. It begins with God giving humanity what is the most precious. His only begotten son. His only begotten son. 1 John chapter 4 verse 9 to 10 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. Listen to this. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, God loved us first. God acted first. And God gave first. He initiated salvation for us. Pneuma Church, God's love is generous. God's love is generous. And this needed to be done. This needed to be done. He needed to give His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have fallen short of the glory. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul also tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Here's the bad news. The bad news, church, is that we're all sinners. Newsflash. We're all sinners. I'm sorry to tell you that on Father's Day. And because of our trespasses, because of our iniquities, because of our sin, Paul tells us that in Ephesians that we are spiritually dead. And spiritual death simply means to be separated from God, to be separated away from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 tells us this, but your iniquities, your sins have made a separation between you and God. And so that's what sin does to us, church. It separates us from the Father. And 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. In other words, if you want to live a sinful life, death must be the payment. Death must be the payment. And again, this is not talking about physical death, not just physical death, but spiritual death. Separation from God. But Pneuma Church, this is how much God loves us. This is the unconditional love of God. This is the agape love of God. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Romans 5:8. But God showed His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Come on. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still living in sin, while we were still living in wickedness, while we were still living in foolishness, while we were still living an unrighteous life, God showed His love for us by Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. God showed His love for us through Jesus Christ. And I said it before and I'm going to say it again. It doesn't matter how great your sin is. It doesn't matter how great your guilt is. It doesn't matter how great your shame is. God's love is greater, church. God's love is greater, church. Come on. Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. But God, everybody say, but God, being rich in His mercy, because of His great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were living in our sins, even when we were living in our wickedness, even when we were making poor, bad, terrible choices, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You have been saved by grace. Romans 3:24 tells us that we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Huh. And second half of 6:23 tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We needed a Savior. God sent a Savior. And Jesus was that Savior. Let me encourage you today, wherever you are in your life, don't let your past sins hinder you from receiving the love of God. Don't let your past sins hinder you from receiving the love of God. Don't let it hinder you from receiving His salvation. Don't let it hinder you from receiving Jesus into your life. Let me tell you, your past sins doesn't define you. Come on, somebody. Your past sins don't define you. Your past sins is not your identity. Your past sins does not determine your future. Come on, God has more for you, church. Come on, do you believe it? I believe it. God has more for you, church. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. It's in God's heart. It's in God's desire that all men might be saved. When I say men, that's including women too. And because of this love, God gave us His Son Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I want to ask us the question, church. Will you receive Jesus Christ into your life today? Will you receive His gift of salvation today? Will you receive the grace of God today? You may be saying, yes, Levi, I do. But how? How do I do it? You're pretty much asking the same question as Nicodemus. How can these things be? How can these things be? How can I be born again? How can I be born of the Spirit? How can I receive salvation? How can I enter the kingdom of God? Which leads me to my third point. Believe and receive. Believe and receive. John 3:16 tells us this, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, not have eternal death, not have eternal separation from God, but have eternal life. You simply have to believe. The text tells us, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes. You see, this invitation, church, is for all. This invitation is for whoever. Salvation, church, is for all humanity. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you come from. It doesn't matter what nation you were born in. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. Let me tell you, salvation is for all humanity. God's invitation to salvation is not restricted by race. It's not restricted by culture. It's not restricted by nationality. And it's not restricted by gender. Let me tell you, salvation is for all humanity. Come on, church. No ethnicity gives someone a greater claim to God. No ethnicity excludes someone from God. No gender makes someone more worthy of salvation, and no gender makes someone unworthy of salvation. Christ came for all of us. Christ came for humanity. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That's all of us, church. That's all of us. And so the call is extended to everyone. Salvation is for all. And the way to receive it is to simply believe it. The way to receive it is to simply believe it. A commentary from Chuck Smith says this, it's easier for a man to be saved than to be lost. It's easier for a man to be saved than to be lost. To be saved, you simply have to believe in Christ. But to be lost is to continually reject His love and to fight against God. It's easier for a man to be saved than to be lost. If I can get the band to come up. One of the articles I read said this. To be saved, we must believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. To be saved, we must believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The only way to fix our sin problem is through faith in the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross. As the incarnate and perfect Son of God, Jesus is the only one who can absorb the punishment for our sins and save us from the wrath of God. He is the only one who could die in our place. To be saved, we must believe in the resurrection of Christ. The physical, bodily resurrection of the Lord is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. This momentous even proves that Jesus overcame Satan, sin, and death. If He did not rise again, then we would remain stuck in our sins. But He did rise from the grave, powerfully demonstrating that all who believe in Him will overcome sin and death and will live with Him for eternity. As Jesus told His disciples, because I live, you also live. Romans 10 verse 9 to 10 says this, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. It's a declaration, church. You just simply have to believe. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this: there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Romans 10, verse 11 to 13 says this: for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. The way to receive this gift of salvation, the way to enter the kingdom of God, is to call upon the name Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Amen. You simply have to believe. And the article goes on to say, the gospel is not complicated. It's not complicated. We aren't required, church. Listen to this. We aren't required to perform religious rituals. Say a series of incantations or understand a cryptic set of facts. Just the opposite. We must cease from our works, lay down our pride, and accept the grace of God by faith. To be saved, we must believe that Jesus, the Savior, died for our sin and rose again to life eternal. We place our full trust in him. We stake our eternal destiny on him about his goodness. He forgives us and saves us, not because of anything that we have done or could do, but because he is loving. He is kind, he is gracious, and he is merciful. Our good works doesn't give us salvation. But I want to put a pause there and also just remind us, this doesn't excuse us from doing good works, okay? It doesn't excuse us from doing good works. I want to share with you with this thought: good works don't save a man, but a saved man does good works. The reason why I pray, the reason why I read the Word of God, the reason why I do all this spiritual discipline is because I've received the love of God. It's not to receive the love of God. It's because I have already received the love of God. I do it because I am saved. Does this make sense, church? Good works don't save a man, but a saved man does good works. And the scripture tells us that as we believe in Jesus Christ, as we believe that he died on the cross for our sins, as we believe the resurrection, as we believe the work and the power of the cross, scripture tells us that as we believe, we also receive. We also receive. We receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive the right standing to be with God. We are now made righteous. We receive the right to become a child of God. And most importantly, we receive eternal life. We receive eternal life. Here's what we know, and here's what I want to share with you. In John 3:16, God love, God gave, you believe, you receive. God love, God gave, you believe, you receive. Amen. You know, my life before Christ, was an empty life. I had no sense of purpose in my life. I chased the things of this world. I chased the temporal things of this world. I was living in sin. I was living in wickedness. I was living in foolishness, church. I would go to these places and do all these things just to make me happy. But at the end of the day, church, I'd still feel empty. And my life with God was a bit on and off. One day I'll be super serious and the next day I'll fall off. There was a time period in my life where I was going to church consistently. And then one time I just slowly backslid again and again. There was even one time where I intentionally tried to live a life without God, a life without Christ. I pursued the things of this world. And by this time in my life and this time of my faith journey, I knew what I was doing was wrong, okay? And I keep hearing God calling me back. Come back to me, son. Come back to me, son. I remember every time I would hear those voices, I would hear God's prompting, I would just ignore it. Like, no, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Come back to me, son. No, I'm not going back. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Come back to me, son. No, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Come back to me, son. No, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Feeding my flesh, feeding my carnal desire, chasing my ambitions. Come back to me, son. No, I'm not. I'm going to do what I want to do, Lord. Come back to me, son. No. Until one day on an Easter weekend, I just finished work. It was the Easter weekend, so everybody left early. It was a Friday afternoon. And at that time, I was still working as a carpenter, just like Jesus. Very noble job. And I remember leaving the construction site. I'm driving home. Everybody's leaving early because it's Good Friday. Everybody wants to take, you know, extra day off, that had a long weekend, all that stuff. And I'm coming from the city and I enter the Westgate Bridge. And it's traffic everywhere. It's traffic everywhere. And the moment I entered the Westgate Bridge, I realized, my petrol is empty. My petrol is empty. And so we're climbing up the Westgate Bridge. I'm driving. And I'm like, Lord, please. I pray to Him for the first time in a long time. Lord, please, I don't want to be on the 7 o'clock news. Please, Lord, I don't want to be the one. I don't want to be the one causing traffic for everyone today, Lord. Please, 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 please. And as I was pleading, as I was begging, I said to the Lord, all right, God, I'll come back to you. All right, God, if you just let me get over this hump, I'll come back to you. I'll come back to you. I promise. Just do this part. Just save me from the situation and I'll come back to you. If you guys know, when you enter Westgate Bridge from the city and you go towards the western, there's the first exit that leads us to the Shell. Do you know which petrol station I'm talking about? It's the very first exit. It's the very first exit. And so I'm indicating towards the left lane because I want to exit straight away from the bridge. And I'm on top of the Westgate Bridge now. We're crawling. The car is jerking. It's not moving, right? Have you ever read a petrol signage where the line is below the E? That's where I was. It wasn't on E. It was below the E. Really running on empty. And it was jerking. And thank God, by God's grace, on the downhill, the car turns off. I'm turning on the car. It's not turning on. I quickly go to neutral and I just let gravity do its thing. All right. Thank the Lord. Everybody was crawling because it was so trafficy. Everybody was crawling. We're all just crawling down. And I'm just letting gravity do its thing. I'm on neutral. And I had enough momentum to exit the first exit and go to the first petrol station, the Shell petrol station. Williamstown Street exit. Yeah, Williamstown Road exit. And I remember just sitting in my car. And I said, okay, Lord, you got me. You got me. And so that following night, I went to find a Good Friday service. And I went to a Good Friday service nearby. And I encountered Jesus. I went back to the Lord. I encountered His love again. And when I encountered Jesus, He didn't condemn me for the way I was living. Instead, He wrapped me in His love. He wrapped me in His love. He says, "Welcome back, son." And in His love, I felt the conviction of my sin. And I repented before the Lord. And in that moment, I recommitted my life to Christ. 11 years on, and God is still doing a work in me. I'm not where I want to be, but I know I'm not where I used to be. Come on. I'm not where I used to be. Praise God. And because of Jesus, my life is now, it's full of color. It's full of beauty. My life is now filled with purpose. It's filled with direction because of Jesus. My life is now richer because of Jesus. My life is now fuller because of Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't go through trials and tribulations. Trust me, I think I went more trials and tribulations after following Jesus. But let me tell you, my life is so much better with Jesus. My life is so much more beautiful because of Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. And this is only possible, church, because of God's love. This is only possible because of God's agape love. And so, Pneuma Church, I want to ask you the question, will you believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Again, it doesn't matter how great your sin is. It doesn't matter how many times you failed. It doesn't matter how many times you backslid. It doesn't matter how many times you've made a mistake. It doesn't matter how many times you've missed church or missed reading the Word of God. God's love is greater, church. God's love is greater, church. Come on. God's love is greater, church. Come on, can I get an amen? God's love is greater. Why don't we stand? Reading from Joel chapter 2, starting from verse 12. And it says this, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And He relents over disasters. Who knows whether He will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and let the bride leave his chamber. Between the festival and the altar, let the priest and the minister of the Lord weep and say, 'Spare your people, O Lord, and make not a heritage a reproach, and by word among the nation, why should they say among the people, where is their God?'" Pneuma Church, return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. And maybe you've already said yes to God a long time ago, but maybe you haven't been living a life that is aligned with His will, aligned to His word, aligned to His purposes for you. And so I want to invite you today, if that's you that want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe this is your first time, or maybe this is a recommitment, like for me 11 years ago. If that's you, with every eyes closed and every head bowed, why don't you just lift up your hand so I can pray for you? Why don't we pray all together, church? Dear Heavenly Father, I come before You with my brokenness. And Lord, I come to You with all my sin. And Father, right now, I receive Your love. I receive the gift of salvation. And I believe and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins. And He was raised again. I thank You, Jesus, for Your salvation. Holy Spirit, Fill me afresh to live a life that pleases you. I thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your kindness, and your love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.